Again, this is Brother Jackson. Again, it was really a blessing today hearing all the readings, but one particular reading scripture has been in my mind, honestly, is Psalms 96, because we need to preach the gospel, and this has been in my mind. And Psalms 96 is really the proclamation of the gospel. There are others, but this was the first one that I've read, which actually tells us what to say in the gospel when we're teaching the gospel. Remember, when Messiah was on earth, he was preaching. He was while he was alive, right? Before he died, any of that, and he never told the people he was preaching to about his death. But he was preaching the gospel. What was he preaching? Basically, the contents of Psalms 96. I'm not saying exclusively Psalms 96, but the things that Psalms 96 covers is what the gospel is, and including his sacrificial death and resurrection. But before he had died, these are the types of things he was saying. He was preaching. These are the type of things the disciples were preaching. We don't go and say our own things. Remember the psalm in verse 96, verse 10, is say among the nations, the eternal reigns. It talks about his kingdom and so, and that's what he was preaching, the kingdom of Elohim. So when we're preaching, keep this psalm in mind. Okay, so I just wanted to say that as aside. So as I said, my main teaching today will be on the Moedim, the appointed times. It will be an overview of the appointed times. All right, so let me get going real quick so I can end on time. So the first in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 31, which is the entire, we see the first work days. So the first of the times we see revealed to us in the scripture are the work days of the week. Maaseh Yom Shavua. Works of the week. Maaseh Yom Shavua. So Elohim did all his work of creation during the daytime phase of the 6 full days he established. So we know that he set the day one with the light, when that's the first thing he did in the beginning, is that he said, let there be, after he created the heavens and the earth as a basis, he created the first day with light. He says, let there be light, and he called the day light. So that was the start of our work days of the week. He established these first 6 days, and he gave us an example to work during the day, as that's what he did. Not that it mattered personally to him, but he was setting the precedent for us. And we know that it is helpful for us to work in the day and rest at night. Okay, so some references for this is Genesis again, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 31, and John chapter 9, verses 4, and John 11, verses 9 through 10. And I'll read a little bit of John chapter 9 for you. Yeah, so John chapter 9, verse 4, the Gospel of John chapter 9, verse 4, beginning in verse 3, actually, it says, Yeshua answered, I'm sorry, yes, verse 4, it says, we must work the works of him who sent me. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. So he is using the precedent set in Genesis chapter 1 as a parable, because parables allude to real phenomena, real things, or real events to teach a lesson. So what's the real phenomena? What's the real fact behind this teaching? Is that Elohim established the day to work and the night for people to rest. Another one similar is in John chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. I'll read that quickly. Verse John chapter 11, verses 9 through 10 says, Yeshua answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So again, it shows that the time for these type of activities is the daytime. So Elohim established the daytime for work, the weekdays. Okay, so again, so the first time established by Elohim was the 6 days of the week, the work days of the week. So the next one are the continual offerings. The continual offerings. I know you would expect, some might expect me to say the Sabbath, but no, is the continual offering, the Tamid Olah, as stated in the scriptures, is Tamid Olah, continual offering or daily offering, or more commonly, as Brother Yael taught me during Passover season, it's called traditionally the Shaharit. Shaharit. Brother Yael brought that to my attention. He helped me with some of these terms a few back during Passover season. So these were two sacrifices for every single day. Okay, so the first one was prepared at dawn, and the second one at evening to burn to ashes until the next dawn. In the New Covenant, we offer prayers during this daily appointment. And you can see this in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 through 13, Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 and 10, and Acts chapter 10, verses 9. So let's take a look at the New Testament portions for a second. Let's look to Acts chapter 3 verses 1. Acts chapter 3 verses 1 says, Now Peter, that's Kepha, and John, Yochanan, were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. What time was that? That was the ninth hour. What is the ninth hour? The ninth hour is approximately around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Okay, so that's a New Testament example. Okay, so that's the afternoon portion, but there's a portion also in the morning done at the third hour also. Okay, so let's take a quick look at chapter 10, what chapter 10 says of the book of Acts. Chapter 10, verses 9. Chapter 10, verses 9 says, The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Kepha, that is Peter, went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Okay, the sixth hour is about 12 in the afternoon of our time. Okay, so these are examples of times of prayer, but here the continual offering was prepared early in the morning, and the other one was like about three, sometime after three in the afternoon, where they would offer the continual offering. But as I said, in the New Covenant, we use these times for prayer, so they are appointed times for prayer. Do not. It's very important that we do not neglect those important times. And don't stress yourself if you forget, but try to get into the habit of practice of in the morning, early in the morning, that you offer prayers to Elohim. In the afternoon, about 12, you offer prayer. And sometime between 3 and 6, you offer a prayer. These are appointed prayers, appointed times for prayer, besides your regular prayer. Me, I'm praying all the time, to be honest with you. I'm driving, I'm praying. I'm I'm reading, I'm with the students, I'm praying. So that's become my norm. But we should all try to get into that practice. And if you can't formulate your own prayer, it's okay. Open your scriptures to where the eternal, to where our master showed his disciples to pray, and pray our Father who art in heaven, and so on. Pray that with all your heart. Okay, you can use that as a prayer. It's not a vain repetition if you're doing it with all your heart. Anything can become vain if we're doing it without all of our hearts. But anything is meaningful. Anything good is meaningful if we do it for all of our hearts. We're conscious, we're aware of what we're thinking or what we're saying, and we mean it, then it becomes beneficial. Okay, so let's move on. So that's the Tamid Olah, the continual offering, the Shaharit. So these are the second appointed time. The other one, again, is the first month of the year. The Hodesh Rishon Shana. Hodesh Rishon Shana. So this starts after winter on the first day of Aviv, which is spring. Aviv is the spring season. It's not the month, but the first month of Aviv is called Aviv because it is the first. That's the constant practice that Elohim has shown manner that the first is given the name. Okay. So, Aviv is the spring season, which comes after a day with equal daytime and nighttime. So after the winter, when winter ends, when winter's about to end, we are all being mindful of what is the day that the daytime and nighttime will be equal. When the daytime is about 12 hours and nighttime is about 12 hours. So we're looking for that, and then that's when the old year, the prior year ends, and the day after that is the start of the new year, or the first month of the new year, which is how we observed it this year, right? So it's, as I said, it starts after winter on the first day of Aviv, which is the spring season, which comes after a day with equal daytime and nighttime, commonly called the equinox. This day was recently renamed equilux, as equinox has been redefined. So we start the new year on the scriptural first day of spring, which comes after what's now termed the equilux, or day that daytime and nighttime are equal. So some references, some of you may not have this, but it's First Enoch, 70, chapter 71, verses 42 to 43. If you don't have a copy of Enoch, please get one. If you need some help with that, text us, and we will send us an email or call us, and we'll tell you some good translations. So First Enoch chapter 71, 42, 43 talks about that exclusive pretty well. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, where Elohim says, today is speaking the month of Aviv during the time of Passover. Today is the Chodesh, the beginning of your months. And also Deuteronomy 16, verses 1. Let me look at Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 quickly. I want to include some of the scriptures in the recording. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1. So verses 1 says, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to the Eternal your Elohim, for in the month of Aviv, the Eternal your Elohim brought you out of Egypt by night. So observe the month of Aviv. It's not just to be aware of it, you have to observe it. So when that month comes, it's a special month. That's why Passover is in the month of Aviv. The 7 days of unleavened bread is in the days of Aviv. The first of the first fruits is in the month of Aviv. And also Pentecost is in the third month, which is still the season of Aviv. No, yes, which is, yeah. And also the second Passover is kept on the second month, right? So it's a very important month. Observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to the eternal Yerushalayim. So what did I say so far? So we see that he has appointed He has appointed work days of the week, day one through day six. And then we see he has the, which is the Maaseh Yom Shavuot, work days of the week. Then he has the continual offering, which is Tamid Olah, the or the Shacharit, as Kamen said today. Then we have the first month of the year, or the Hodesh Rishon Shana. Okay, which is what we just got. So let's move along. Then we have the seasonal cycles, or the Tekufa. Tekufot. Tekufa for cycle, or Tekufot for seasonal cycles. What are those? Those are the first day of the first month heading Earth's four seasons. So the first month, the first day of the first month of spring, the first day of the first month of summer, and the first day of the first month of fall, and the first day of the first month of winter. These are the Hodesh, or the cycles. The Tekufot, not Hodesh, the Tekufot, the season of the seasonal cycles. And you will find that in referenced in Numbers chapter 28, verses 11 through 15, and 1 Samuel verses 20 to... First Samuel chapter 20, verse 5. Okay, and we have the Tekufot for you. The first one, as we've already observed, was March 17, 2021, to start the year. Then we have June 16th, 2021. We have September 15th, 2021, and last one is December 15th, 2021. These are the Tekufot. The spring cycle. So these are the appointed cycles of Elohim, the appointed times. Then we have the commonly known seventh-day Sabbath, Yom Shabbat. So Elohim finished his work, as you know, on the sixth day and stopped on the daytime phase of the seventh day. We do good from day one to day six and stop on the seventh day to assemble and to rest in his goodness. So some references, as you know, is Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, Exodus chapter 16, verses 22, 23, verses 22 through 26, actually. And the timing for this is daytime to evening. It's not from evening to evening, as commonly taught, but it's from the daytime of the seventh day to the evening. If you're not familiar with that, please go to the website and look at the recordings of the about the Sabbath, and you will see the biblical proofs for that. Okay, so the next one is the lamb inspection and selection. That's the other appointed time. This was the time to inspect and ensure and safeguard a perfect one-year-old ram for Passover. This starts on the 10th day of Aviv to the 14th day of the first month of Aviv. Today, we start that day to do what? We don't cast out. No, we start planning for Passover. We could start soon, earlier if we want, but we should start planning for Passover by the 10th of Aviv. That's what that's for. So we don't neglect the appointed times just because we don't do sacrifices. So we can learn more about this. So this is something. This is where we should be by the 10th of Aviv. We should be talking amongst each other about what we're doing for Passover, where, how. So that's what we should be doing by the 10th of Aviv. When is this? Daytime to evening. Oh, I'm reading wrong. From the 10th to the 14th day of the first month of Aviv, okay? And it's daytime to evening. Because by the evening of the 14th, preparation is over. It's Passover at the evening, okay? And let's see. Let's move on. So the next is the Day of Unleavened Bread, okay? The Day of Unleavened Bread is not the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's keep that in mind. It's not the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The day of unleavened bread is the daytime portion of the 14th, is to prepare for Passover, to ready the ram, to ensure all leaven is removed, to set pure unleavened bread and foods. You have, that's the day of unleavened bread. That's the day of unleavened bread that people get confused of when they read the portions in the Gospels, where the disciples come to Yeshua and the Gospels perfectly say, on the day of unleavened bread, the disciples ask them, where shall we keep the Passover? Some people think that's an error. No, it's not an error. They are perfectly correct, as I've said before. That day is called the day of unleavened bread because you have to make sure your house is unleavened before Passover comes. It's not something you do on Passover. So the day of unleavened bread is technically the last day of preparation for Passover, to start the Passover. But every single day of the 7 days, there is a preparation for Passover because you have to have seven lambs without blemish. Okay? As the Torah teaches. Some people think it's a one-day, Passover was a one-day celebration. No, the Passover is celebrated throughout the entire set, from the 14th all the way to the 21st. Every single day there is a lamb, a Passover lamb. And so it's not a whimsical thing when you see in the New Testament and elsewhere, sometimes the whole feast is called Passover, because it really is. Because it's a celebration of Passover. As I've said in the Passover teaching, the real Passover, the event, is different from this, or I say the celebration of Passover is different from the real event of Passover. There was an event, and then there were, and Elohim established a celebration for that event. In the real event, there was one lamb offered. In both real events, the time of Moses, there was a real, a one-year-old animal killed, so that the people of children of Israel and all who would abide by the command would be saved. It was one lamb, and that was it. And there was nothing that happened the 7 days later. Nothing happened 7 days later. And so that means the only thing that was being memorialized in before Messiah came was the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. There was nothing that happened 7 days for them to commemorate. But however, for them, it was the 7 days of unleavened bread was a prophetic rehearsal of the future real Passover, where the true Lamb of Elohim would come. And during the Passover season would be arrested and a lot of things would happen to him. And for 7 days, the lamb was imprisoned for 7 days. If you haven't looked at the teaching on Passover and the timing of the crucifixion, please do that. Okay. And I'm about to end, and we will try to continue this, the rest of this next week, because I want to be faithful and end by one to allow Brother Richard enough time. So keep that in mind. Look at the scriptures carefully. This is not something that could be gainsaid, or there's no error in it. The only way people could come up with different conclusions is if they discard what the scriptures say, or if they claim it's not correct. Me, I'm on the premise that what the scripture says is correct. And because I looked through it prayerfully, to be very honest with you, carefully. And I looked through the scriptures only and to Elohim only. And I don't find errors as some claim. Like, for instance, the whole thing about the day of unleavened bread. A lot of people think it's an error when it's not an error. It's a term for a specific day. But they confuse that day with the days of unleavened bread. So I can't say too much about that, which I said too much. That teaching is recorded for you on the website. Please, if you haven't heard it, Listen to it carefully. So this is the day of unleavened bread, the time you prepare for the last day that you would prepare for Passover. So again, some references of that is Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, and verses 18. Then we see Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5, and Mark 14, verses 12 for some New Testament scriptures, and Luke 22, verses 7. So that's the day of unleavened bread. Now we have the Passover. So the Passover, Pesach, is an annual commemoration of Israel's deliverance from bondage in Egypt by Elohim's mighty hand. It starts at twilight on the 14th of Aviv of spring to dawn of the 14th of this to the 14th. So it doesn't carry over to the next day. It must end. It ends in the night. It is a nighttime celebration. Okay? It cannot be done in the day whatsoever, Passover, because it has to do with judgment. There are 2 days like this. And the Passover is the first of the nighttime celebrations, which must be observed in the night. Okay? So today, it begins the memorial of Yeshua's suffering and death on our behalf. He says, I must suffer many things, he says. So it's not just come and be crucified and it's over. No, that teaching doesn't match the scriptural facts. It's to come, is to be imprisoned, is to suffer many things and then be crucified and then be raised from the dead. It's not just to be caught and then insulted, you know, beaten for, you know, one day and then the next morning be crucified. Nope, that does not match the scriptural facts. It does not match the prophecies, because the prophecies in Isaiah chapter 53 tells us he was in prison, taken to judgment. And he offered up his soul. So that had to happen. He had to be imprisoned. He had to suffer, fulfill the days of unleavened bread. That's why there are 7 days of unleavened bread. Because from the time he was arrested until the end of the Passover, being the full days of unleavened bread, he was offered up, sacrificed outside of Jerusalem. Right? In an unclean place, he was offered. Not in a clean place. In an unclean place, it was offered on our behalf, impaled. Some people try to get him to fit the Passover symbols perfectly. No. We have to get the symbols to fit the true Passover. Yeshua is the true Passover. And he fulfilled it completely. He fulfilled the prophetic 7 days, which was prophetic to the Israelites, but memorial for us. 7 days you shall eat this unleavened bread for my man. Because he was imprisoned for 7 days, brethren. And then after the Passover, on the Wednesday following Passover, after the last day of the last day of Passover was on a Tuesday, the 21st of Aviv, he was offered up on that Wednesday, spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And on Yom HaBikurim, he rose up from the dead. Those are the facts that will match the Bible, what's recorded that will match the law, that will match what's in the scriptures. Any other conclusion, people will have to discard scripture, you know, raise questions about it. But if we're going to believe the scriptures, you will see that's what it is. So I encourage you to listen to it. So on the recordings, so you can hear it. And then ask me questions. I don't mind. Please listen to the recordings about the Passover, about the Lamb of about Yeshua being more than Passover, and about the timing of Passover. You will see how Elohim, how Messiah truly is the true Passover and all the sacrifices, because that's the true biblical account. And lastly, to end, we have now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which begins on the 15th of Aviv. It is an annual 7-day feast starting on the 15th of Aviv to the 21st of Aviv. The 15th and the 21st are days of solemn assembly. The 16th to the 20th are celebratory, daylight to dawn. The 21st day ends at evening, doesn't carry over to the night. It ends at evening. So today, done in memorial of Yeshua's suffering and death on our behalf. References are Exodus chapter 12, verses 42, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 6 to 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Okay? So, again, these are, it starts from the 15th to the 21st day of the first month of Aviv, daytime to dawn. The last day ends at evening. And if for any reason anyone missed the Passover the first day, you cannot keep the Passover. You still must be unleavened during that season, but you need to keep the Passover on the second month of Aviv. So you must keep the full time of from the 14th to the 21st of the second month if you end. So I will end here. So thank you very much, dear brethren. And next Sabbath, we will continue with the first fruits until the last feast. Okay, so thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you could ask me during the sharing time. I want to make sure I allow enough time for our brother Richard to do the presentation for us. Thank you very much, dear brethren.